Well, good morning on this snowy day. So as he just said, I'm Pastor Montana Averill. We're coming up here from Rumford. If we were going to St. David, it'd be about 6 hours away. It's about 5 hours away from Rumford to here. In the front row here is my beautiful wife, if you don't mind standing up, Chloe. Her name's Chloe. For the ones that we didn't meet, we shook a lot of hands and met a lot of people, but for the ones that we didn't get a chance to. And God has just placed a call in our lives to ministry and to pastor a church wherever he leads us, and we feel like that's up here in Aroostook County. So, but let's just open in prayer. I always like to do that before I speak. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this service, the remainder of this service, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this place like a mighty rushing wind, Father God. That, Lord, our hearts would be open to receive you, that our eyes would be open to see you moving, and that our ears would be open to hear your voice speaking to us, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd give me a double portion of your anointing, Lord, that my mouth would be your voice today for your glory, honor, and praise alone, Lord. We love you, God. I pray that your word would speak to all of us, God. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, amen. And so today, God has laid on my heart to share my testimony first and then go into Scripture. But God has laid on my heart a message of transformation, a message of salvation, a message of an outward focus in discipleship, which we, if you were here for Sunday school, that's right along what Sunday school was our brother was talking about in Sunday school, and the songs talked about that today. Being redeemed, thanking God and giving him our praise, praising the Lord. But my testimony, it starts a little dark, and there's kids in here, so I won't go into graphic detail or anything. But us adults here will get the gist. But I lived in a very dark home. It was supposedly Catholic, and we went to church here and there, but there wasn't a lot of love in my home, and it led me to not value my life so much. We'll just put it that way. It led me not to value my life and whether I had it or not, and God just began to. I don't believe I didn't have the scriptures. I didn't have the teaching, so I didn't really know much about God. But I just knew that there was a God in heaven who could give me peace, is all I was told by actually the church that we serve for now. I went with a friend when I was really young, and our brother, Pastor Justin, who is the head of that church now, head pastor of that church now, is the one that told me about that. But there's a God that hears my prayers, and that's all I knew. I had no other teachings. No other anything, and God was the only one that gave me peace in my home. It was very dark. There was abuse going on and different things, and it just led me to not really value my life. Everyone that I thought cared and loved me, had betrayed me and hurt me in so many more ways than I could imagine as a young teenage boy. But God had the beautiful thing about our Lord and Savior. The beautiful thing about our God is that He saw at some point. Each and every one of us in this room. And when I was in that dark place where I didn't value my life and I was ready to give it up and I didn't think that there, I had no idea what love really was. But God showed me what love was. And He brought it through my amazing wife over here as she began to invite me. And what I didn't know was back to the church that I had gone to as a young child with my friend a few times. And I decided to take a chance one day, and I went into that church, and I said, God, this is it. Those famous words, Lord, if you don't show up now, never coming back to church, it's done. And I gave God a chance with an open heart and an open mind and said, God, you've got to do something now. And when I sat in that chair, it felt like every word that came out of my brother's mouth was for me. And God began to just shower me in His presence and fill me with His Holy Spirit. And fill me with His love and began to show me through my wife and her family what love really was when I had no one. I didn't have a relationship with my dad. I didn't have a relationship with my mother. My siblings didn't talk to me. I felt alone. And the only one that I knew that I had was God. And so as God brought these people to love on me and show me what love was, this is where, as we get into Scripture, you'll begin to see, this is where transformation comes in. As I gave my heart to Christ, God began to transform me and take me out of a lust-driven mindset, a dark mindset where I didn't value my own life and bring me into a better mindset. But He doesn't stop there. I'm sure many of us in this room can attest that when God saved us, when we came to Christ, he didn't stop with us. I just mentioned how I didn't have a relationship with my father. Well, my dad's like my best friend now. And he doesn't believe in Christ. And he's right on the verge of turning over as I keep talking to him. But God began to do something different in my dad, and that anger began to go away from my home. That darkness began to leave my home as God used me to be the light in my home. I began to talk to my mom again, and my siblings began to talk to me again, and God showed me what forgiveness was. And so as I'm sharing this is my testimony, and why I feel like God is sharing this is because this is what we all have to do, is remember that God doesn't just transform us. He takes you through the things that you've been through so then he can then use you to go and touch other people. Too often I see church after church that I talk to or people that I talk to and Christians that I talk to with an inward focus. It's about my relationship and God. And yes, you do need to focus on your relationship with God. But what has God sent us here for? To go talk to others. And Caribou, our brother Mike Hood, Pastor Mike Hood, should not be the only one with an outward focus going and visiting people and talking with people. Our brother Pastor Ray shouldn't be the only one going out and talking with people. Every person in this room has a call by God, the Great Commission, to go out and have an outward focus and talk to people and tell them about what God did in your life. And why I believe that God had laid on my heart to share my testimony is because your testimony is your most powerful weapon for the Lord. Because you can quote as much scripture as you want, but some people, they're just not going to believe it. But when you can say that, no, God did this in my life, who are they to deny that? You're living proof of what God can do. What God has done in your life is a living story of how God moves and works through his word. That's how important it is to remember your testimony. Never forget where God took you from. Just like our brother, I love this cross. It's so beautiful. Just like our brother was just saying, never forget the cross. Never forget why we came to Christ, what we're doing. Never forget your purpose and your mission. It's to carry what that meaning of that cross is. It's not just an empty cross. The cross represents how God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. And then it didn't end there. He didn't just die. You have to remember that we serve a living God. Our God rose again 3 days later with a victory in hand. We don't serve a dead God. So you shouldn't be going to talking to people like you do. When I go out and I share the gospel with people and I begin to be a Christ-like example to people, I share with them that I have a God that is alive, that still values them the way that he valued me then. And what touches my heart every single time, and it's so hard for me to say this without tearing up a lot of times, is that when I was there in my own darkness, something that I created, that I was okay living in, out of over 8 billion people in this world, God saw me and thought I was worth it enough to tell me, to send people to come and love on me. And he did the same for all of you who believe in here today. God saw you out of all 8 billion. He thought you were the special one. This is why it's so, so important to remember this, church. Because when you go out here to your homes, the communion, the fellowship, the word of God does not stop when you leave those doors. You're supposed to carry it with you wherever you go. So let's open up to some scripture. And I was going to start in a different place, but I just feel the Lord leading me to start in Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew. Right in the beginning. He is risen. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, Imagine that, church. His clothing was white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. For he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." How powerful the end of that is. Our God has risen. They went to go visit a God that they still, you have to remember, Jesus invested in the disciples and invested in these people, and they still did not understand that he wasn't going to be there when they went to that tomb. They thought they were going to see Jesus dead. Not risen like he said he was going to do. But when they get there, it's empty. And so with it comes power for us. So with it comes victory for us. We were all born slaves to sin, but because of God rose again 3 days later, we get to have the power and freedom through Christ and his blood to be washed white as snow like we sung about today. We were washed by his blood and we became new in him. Speaking of new, why don't we flip over to Matthew chapter, excuse the nerves here. My apologies. 2 Corinthians is what I meant to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? That just like Jesus died on the cross, your old self died when you come to Christ. This only applies to people who have accepted Christ into their heart. Not people who just know about God. Remember, there's a difference about knowing about God and knowing who God is personally. The power comes in when you know who God is personally. But you stay stagnant and lukewarm when you don't know who God is and you just know about him. You can know every word in this Bible, but if you don't truly know who God is, then it's just going to seem like he never rose again. The word's going to seem dead and not alive. But the words in these pages come alive when we recognize and know and learn that Jesus has rose again and that we have a relationship with him. It is so beautiful that we have a God in heaven who loves us, that when we go to him, he washes everything away. All my chains that I was all chained up in, everything that I had, I don't have to worry about anymore that now that I'm with Christ, because those are the old man. That man is dead. He died 9 years ago when I accepted Christ. I'm a new man, a new creation, being rose by God through power and strength. And as I walk my journey with Christ, I'm going to continue to grow with him. Because you have to remember, church, that God does not want you to continually do this. And he doesn't want you on the stagnant playing field, because then what happens? You hit a bump in the road and you go down and then you go stagnant and you keep doing that over and over again, and eventually you're going to end up lower than you were when you started. God wants to keep taking you up. God's not done with anybody in this room. Transformation is an ongoing process, just like sanctification is an ongoing process. God has got something to do with your life as long as you have breath in your body. We have to remember this, church. God wants to do great things through us, but we have to be willing. We have to be connected to the vine. We have to be connected to God with our ears open, waiting for his call. When I wake up in the morning, I ask God, "What do you want me to do today?" Because my mission, my goals, should be aligning to his. What Montana wants is not good for me. But what God wants for my life, his will, is what's good for me. Just like if I came up here, when my brother allowed me to speak, and I spoke from me, you might as well go home, because nothing's happening today. Does no good. But if I speak through the Holy Spirit, if I allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, then something's going to happen. And whether I feel like it's for the crowd or not, when I speak, I'm going to continue to say what God wants me to say, because even if it's for one person, it matters. Because if God is speaking to that one person and they come to Christ or they get closer to God, then that means that hell lost another one. And the kingdom gained another one. Because I'm very tired of seeing. I may be young, but I've seen a lot of people walk away from God. The blessing, the favor, the power of God in their lives, and then they give it all up. And you may say, that's interesting. God didn't take it away. They gave it up. No. We gave it up. God gives it to us when we come to Him, but we have the choice whether to follow Him or not, right? Correct, church? As long as you're willing to follow God and you're seeking Him diligently and in humility, God is going to continue to use you. But when we don't want to be used by God, you close the door, not God. But you see, so many people blame Him. Have an open heart today, church. Allow yourself to be used by God. Have an outward focus. Remember what you were like before you came to Christ. Because for those people that are walking down the path of death out there that know nothing about God, this is as good as it gets for them. For us believers, we have hope. You should be excited about heaven, right? Hallelujah! Because this is our prison right here. What we're doing right now is our prison. It only gets better from here as a believer. Because I'm going to go see the face of the one who died for me. The one who gave everything for me. I'm going to go see His face when I die and move on. So I've got everything to look forward to as a believer. But for those that are walking blind, you ever seen those horses when they try to keep the bugs out of their eyes and they put those masks on them? When they're walking with that over their face and they have no idea where they're going, but their path leads to destruction, then this is as good as it gets. Because hell's not going to be a fun place. One of the hardest things to do, I think, as a pastor is conducting a, and maybe he can attest to this, conducting a funeral where you know that that person was not a believer. They were living in the wicked way. Because there's no hope. Your only hope is that that life was a testament to the people there. But there's hope for us today. Every single day that you wake up and your feet hit the floor, you should be thanking God for that cross, that we now have an opportunity to keep serving Him, and you should be thanking God for another day to go out and reach people who don't know Him. Because I want to keep seeing the kingdom grow. I'd love to see if 5-10 years down the road that we keep hearing of God growing in the Aroostook County. How great would it be to see on national television news talking about how there was a revival that set out in Aroostook County and God is spreading up here. That starts with us. We're the army of God. That starts with us having that outward focus, remembering where God took us from and wanting to see other people have that victory and freedom in Jesus' name. It starts with us, church. It starts with us. And I'd like to flip over and just give you a reminder today, church, from the one that I almost went to earlier, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13. I'm sure most of us in this room have heard the scripture before. The narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But most people we walk by every day are living. The wide path that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There are also few who follow it. Why he says there's few who find it is because some people might find Christ. They might, like I just said, I've seen over and over again where people had the anointing and the favor over their life and then they walked away. It's because few want to go through the difficult part. Few truly want to just surrender their life over to God. Like I said, it's not my desires throughout every day. It's not my goals. It's Christ. Your life should align to this. The Word of God. And we're not in a healthy place in our lives, church, if this is collecting dust on a shelf and it's just another book in our home. You have to know this book inside and out. The Bible should be what you're aligning your life to every single day. And if you read the Word of God, there's plenty of scripture on how God is calling us to go out. To go out and make disciples. When I stepped up here, or when I was going to step up here, when we were coming to the church today, when we were coming to the church today, I thought I was going to be talking more about transformation and how God does great things, because He does. But as we were in worship, God was just laying on my heart, and I was just hearing Him speak, and I said, God, keep speaking. And He just moved. I just preached a sermon just like this at our church last Sunday, I think it was, in the morning, or a Sunday ago. And God was laying on my heart that you guys need to hear this today. Whoever it is, whether it's one, two, or everyone in this room, but I think this message is for all of us, including me up here. We have to remember that we should always be having an outward focus, because too many churches are dying out, and too many pastors are leaving churches because they're getting burnt out, because they're the only ones doing visitation. They're the only ones out there evangelizing. But I'm going to read you the scripture that we're all called to, okay? It's still in Matthew chapter 28, but it's the very end. Starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you love that, church? He ends it with, don't worry. I'm commanding you to go out and make disciples. I'm commanding you to go out and do the work, to be my hands and feet. But lo, I am with you always. God does not ask us to do anything. He's not going to be there with us. You have to remember that it was different after. The New Testament is a new covenant. It was different. We have the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go, to be our guidance, to be our helper, to be our strength, to be our wisdom, to be our knowledge and understanding, and to give us discernment. God has equipped us, church. And I know that this church is not a church that does not hear the Word of God. I've talked with my brother. We were at their house last night, like he was saying, and the last time we came up, you guys hear the Word of God. So God has equipped you and prepared you. But now God's calling you to use it. The weapons and things and tools that God has given you are useless if all they do is sit in the shed. It's time for you to go out and plant a seed and to do what God has called every person in this room to do. Carry out the Great Commission. So that way more people, and I know there are many more people that were in way worse situations than myself, but I don't like to use other people. But like my testimony, I would not be here today to preach this for you if there were not faithful people who were obedient to God's call to go spread love on a young teenage boy. And there are many, many people like that. Doesn't matter what community you're in. This world is just getting worse and worse, full of more drugs, depression, and suicide rates are way up, crimes way up. People need to be reached by the gospel. People need their hearts touched by the gospel. But it starts with His army. So let this be an encouragement for you today. And if people keep coming in and you start seeing people get saved, that should excite you. I get fired up when I see somebody come to Christ. I come to tears because that's another soul that gets to experience freedom by God. That's another soul that the enemy doesn't have anymore. That's another soul that now, just like we talked about in Sunday school, becomes a child of God. And then God's promises get to go into their life. Because a lot of the promises mean nothing if you aren't with the Lord. So let this touch your heart today. Be encouraged to have an outward focus. And know, just like God loves each and every one of us in this room, and like we've experienced, He does for every person out there. And brother, if you'd like to come back up, I'll pass you back the ball. But thank you for hearing what God has placed on my heart today. And just may you be faithful and obedient to His call.
Thank you, Montana, for sharing your heart. There's someone here today who's got a clear sense that every word that he spoke was to you personally. It may very well be. Did you ever stop and think that God loves you enough that he would design a church service just to get your attention? Or that he would bring a young preacher and his wife from over 200 miles away to join us for a Sunday morning service with words that you personally needed to hear? Do you know he loves you that much? He does. He does. He cares that much about your spiritual condition. And if you've heard this today, then the responsibility has shifted from him to share it to you to do something with it. From this day on, you will never be able to say, no one ever told me. You heard it pretty clear today. And when you hear it, that is the day that you need to respond. If your heart's open and sensitive to him, that's because God has gifted you grace. And if you receive that grace into your life, it will transform you from the inside out. So before we move on and bring the service to a close, let's just bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. You're here today and you will admit that Pastor Montana's words were speaking to you, that God is talking to you about your relationship with him. That he wants to bring you to the place where you can experience forgiveness through Jesus Christ and come into a brand new life. I would love to pray with you this morning. If you're here like that, would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Mike, Montana was speaking to me today. Would you pray for me? Anyone here like that? He was speaking to me. Thank you for that hand. Someone else, thank you for that hand. Another hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands have gone up. Amen. God's talking to anybody else. Keep listening to him long enough that you hear the assignment that he has and what he wants to do in your life and through your life for his glory and the expansion of the kingdom. There's no greater thrill than to be able to work with God in getting the good news out. Amen. Father, I thank you for those that raised their hands, sensing that you were talking to them through the words of Montana as he shared his heart. And I pray as they receive by faith that word into their hearts and lives, that it would bear fruit, rising up to eternal life inside each one. That this would be a divine encounter with you, but just the beginning of a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. Those who heard your voice today, continue to speak to them. Continue to lead them along. And Lord, we ask that you would just send believers who are strong in the faith, who could nurture that new experience that they're having hearing from you, that they would be able to help them grow and come to the confident assurance that my sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that I have newness of life and the power of the Holy Spirit because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He lives, and because he lives, I can live in my relationship with him. We thank you for each and every one that responded. Continue your work. Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that your voice would continue to speak to us, that we would hear your voice and be willing to go and do what you've asked us to do. We thank you for it. Be with us now as we head to our homes. The weather might not be very nice out there, but keep us safe till we get to our homes. and bring us back here together at the appointed time, that we might experience the fresh moving of God in our hearts and lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Stand together with me.